welcome once again to the Lucky Mojo Voodoo Rumor Tower, brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and online at LuckyMojo.com. I'm your announcer, Papa Newt of PapaNewt.com in Omaha, Nebraska, and in just a moment, we'll be joined by our co-host, Catherine Ironwood of LuckyMojo.com in Forestville, California, and Conjureman Ali of ConjureManAli.com in Mission Viejo, California. This week, we'll be joined by a special guest from the Association of Independent Readers and Woodworkers, Miss Elvira of Elvira.com in Santa Rosa, California, bringing us today's topic on new beginnings in the solar new year. Afterwards, they'll take your calls and offer advice to address, ameliorate, and remediate your questions and problems about love, money, career, and spiritual protection using traditional African-American folk magic practices of hoodoo, conjure, or root work as divined and prescribed by the greatest spiritual hoodooists of our time. You can learn a lot just by listening, but if you're selected from among those who signed up at the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com and called into the show, then you'll be on the air and receive a free consultation. We'll be going to the phones in just a moment, but first, let's catch up with our co-hosts, Miss Kat and Conjureman Ali. Cat?
Hi, Papa Newt. Hey, I've got news for you, Papa Newt.
Oh, yeah.
Some of the people in the shop, as they were getting ready to dial into the show, as you know, at Blog Talk Radio, runs a little slideshow of what we're going to be doing. And I got a little call out. I was across the room. Who's that handsome young man with the glasses?
There you go.
And I said, I don't know. So I went over to the kiosk, and when your picture came up, they go, that's it, that's him. So I told them it was Papa Newt, who, despite the Papa name, is not a Papa and not an old codger, but Papa Newt is a very nice young man. So, you've got fans.
Yeah. Oh, welcome, and I give a shout out to them all in the show.
Yeah, I'm not going to name names for fear of embarrassing them. But yeah, you got your dues paid to you. All right. I'm very happy to be here. We are in the midst of what's supposed to be a, you know, multi-decade catastrophic rainstorm. The rivers are rising, and we have a short crew at the shop because some people are flooded in. They cannot get out of where they are. They're safe, but they're on an island. Other people cannot get on to where we are because they'd have to go many, many, many miles because although we're not on an island yet, we are right now on a peninsula. And in order to get in on the one road that remains open the longest, people would have to drive many, many, many miles north and then come back down and come west. And that's not what it's not on the book. So right now we got what we got. And so we have a very nice short crew in the shop. Heidi and King and Leslie and Nikki. And I may have missed somebody, but I think that's it. And it's unusual. We have no customers. They can't get in the back way because the road is washed out. And,
is that River Road?
No, down by the school, 116.
116, yeah, 116.
Oh, wow.
You know, the low water. Yeah, here we are giving local weather reports. Yeah, the low water, it's closed. And there have been police going down and fire sirens going down Van Keppel. So I think somebody was in trouble down there and probably Vine Hill is close. You know, the usual.
Could be power problems, too. We've had a few.
Also, there's been power going off and on. And if I drop out of this, it's because the power has gone out here. I'm on a landline,
right,
which will keep going if the power goes out. But some people are on a computer. I'm on a computer connected to the show.
Mm-hmm.
So I may end up here just blind and just talking. So we'll find out, you know. But the power's been going on and off all day. And so wish us luck. That is usually it's Professor Porterfield who reports these dire weather things. But we had it now. How are things down in Southern California, Conjureman Ali?
Things are great. Thanks for asking. It's good to be back on the show after having a couple weeks off for the holidays. I certainly missed all of you. But it's fun to be back. I did my annual kind of yearly reading for what 2017 has in store, and let's just say this is, if I thought 2016 was a weird reading, 2017 is definitely a weird reading. So as you know, and Katten, you and I confer usually on these before the show, I do a reading every year at the beginning of the year as the clock strikes midnight to see what the year has in store for us. So I'm going to share just a couple real briefly. I don't want to take up too much time, but this is the year of creeping poison. So I used a combination of geomancy and astrology. So this is the year of creeping poison and upheaval. The kind of image that came to mind as I was doing the reading is someone regurgitating or throwing up, purging their body as the kind of toxins came out. So it's a violent upheaval and creeping poison. And in particular, I saw that the coasts, the two coasts of the United States should be quite mindful. Now, I did this reading in the beginning of the year, the very first day, right when the clock struck, and then there was an attack just yesterday, I believe it was yesterday or the day before, in Florida. And that really kind of signals the kind of tone. The two coasts, the West Coast, like when I mean coast, I mean the literal coasts, and the East Coast, from Florida all the way up, are going to face quite a bit of violent upheaval. So 2017, if you're thinking of moving, this is the year to move inwards toward the inside of the country. It's a rough year, so if you thought 2016 was tough, I wish I could say that this reading was really all sunshine and wonderful, but it's a year of creeping poison, so slowly poisoning oneself, and then violent upheaval, like purging, that kind of follows right after it. That's what 2017 has in store, so it's going to be kind of rocky. Buckle down, grab onto your seats, and we're going to ride this out together.
Wow. All right. I have a couple of comments on this, by the way. Saw a post today, the shooting in Florida. And, of course, all of you listening sometime in the future, this was a man who went crazy and shot people in the airport in Florida, mm-hmm. Fort Lauderdale. He had turned himself in to the FBI, claiming that ISIS, or the Islamic State, was sending him voices and messages telling him he was supposed to kill people. They recognized that he was psychotic. They had him taken in for a psychosis evaluation. Turns out the man is probably schizophrenic, psychotic anyway, having a psychotic episode. They then released him, and they gave him his gun back because it was his property. He then took the gun, got on a plane from Alaska, went down to Florida, and blew people away. This is dysfunctional of society, in my opinion. Just saying. I just had to say that. People talk about gun control as if it was anathema, but we don't let just anybody drive a car. And car is a deadly weapon. Gun is even a more deadly weapon. And this was foolishness, just foolishness on the part of the law enforcement people, and they're going to live to regret it. So there you go. I just had to say that. Yeah, Conjurman Ollie says in the chat room, I had my hand sanitizer taken away, but you can fly with your gun. That is true. I had a jar of strawberry jam taken away, and I vowed I'd never fly again. That was it. I just was like, okay, there's no reason to ever fly again. They're going to take my strawberry jam. The hell with it. I'm just going to take a train, and that's what I've done ever since, and that's been a long time. Mm-hmm. Now, I do have another thing to say. I seriously overlooked one person, and I just got to say, Solita in the church, okay? When I was calling out their names, I knew I was one short. Solita in the church, and she's holding down the fort down there. All right. Now, we're going to bring in our guest, who is Miss Elvira, and many people know her, love her, appreciate her. She has been a member of AIR a long time. She has been a reader at the Missionary Independent Spiritual Church is a live in-person reader and telephone reader for many years. She has presented workshops at the Hoodoo Heritage Festivals many times, and she is a constant source of good magic and personal power in people's lives. She's a very uplifting reader. If you have anything you want to do in life, she will guide you in a very practical way to do use magic and prayer to get what you want. And she's a good counselor, and she's a good root worker. All right, so having said that, we're going to bring her on. Hello, Miss Elvira. How are you?
I'm fine, Miss Kat. I am glowing from what you just said. I feel like I can sparkle for the rest of the year now.
Well,
wow,
we love you. I'll tell you one other thing. I'll tell you all a secret about Miss Elvira. There is a statue called Gitana. It's available in a lot of botanicas. It shows a woman, kind of a crystal ball reading, narrow-faced woman, and she's supposedly a gypsy. I have that statue. It's almost life-size. It's just a bust. I have it behind my computer, and every time I walk by it, I go, what's Elvira doing behind my computer? She looks just like this statue was modeled off of her. Anyway.
Oh, thank you. It must be my Sicilian blood coming through there.
I think so.
Somewhere I was a gypsy. Who knows? But, yeah, it's really great to be back. I was visiting family in Arkansas, northern Arkansas, and I come back and I find that we have this wonderful weather, and I was planning on it being very, very tempestuous, actually, in Arkansas, and it turned out it was warmer there than it was here.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, we're having a weird one here.
Yeah, this is definitely strange.
Nagashiva pointed out in the chat room, too, I should mention that you are also one of the promoters of the Santa Rosa Mystic Fair, which is held every year in October. Thank you for mentioning that, Shiva.
Thank you. And I also wish to say that I am also one of the co-hosts of one of the shows that Lucky Mojo Radio Network sponsors, which is the Priestess and the Cauldron, which is obviously a plug for my show on Fridays at 6 o'clock Pacific Coast time, and we can go on with that. But
thank you. I'm behind the eight ball on that one, too. Yeah, The Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron, which your co-host is Miss Phoenix, who has a shop down in Sebastopol called Milk and Honey. She also always helps out with the Hoodoo Heritage Festival. She wrote a book, Hoodoo Shrines and Altars, which Missionary Independent published, and she is a past member of the Lucky Mojo and MISC teams, a wonderful friend of ours. And you guys have a great show together, The Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron.
Yeah.
And Nagashiva posted the URL in the chat room. So that's everybody all caught up on you. Now,
we're all caught up with all our stuff.
Yeah. So you can check out Elvira and friend her on Facebook, too. She's a good friend. Now, she brought us a topic, and I'm going to introduce it, as I always do, just a little brief thing. New beginnings for the new year. I'm going to talk just briefly about spiritual cleaning, which is one of the best things that I know to do for the new year. So it's a tradition in many households, in many cultures, to clean out the old bad stuff and prepare the home or the business for the new year. And there are many ways to do this. Some people will do laundry on everything and wash everything, all the sheets, wash down the walls, wash the floors. And I know people who will actually launder all the clothing, not even dirty, just all the laundry. And use special, bath crystals or something like that in the bath, or a little drop of an oil with a laundry detergent, or pray over them. People will wash from top to bottom, back to front. In other words, start with a pole duster on the ceiling and go from the back, highest, backest room to the front, down, and down the shelves and down the beds and all that, down to the floor, and then go out the floor. Washing with a Chinese wash, a few drops of Chinese wash in scrub water. You could make your own scrub water any other way. If you do that, you usually dump the water off the property, and you can don't put it into the into the drains. You want to really kind of, people will actually literally throw it out. Now, that's an old rural custom. In some places, you live in a place you can't do that, well, then don't. But, you know, we have old ways of working. Some people will wash from front to back. I know a very few, small number of people. They're not wrong. They're just in the minority because most people wash from top to bottom and back to front. When you get done, then you wash inward from the sidewalk or the path inward with something attracting, like an attraction scrub water or money drying scrub water. And there are many recipes for those. And you can find those in many of the books that we've published, including Hoodoo Spiritual Baths by Aura LaForest. That has some recipes. There are recipes in for all different kinds of cleaning things in a flyer that Andrea Weston, Ambrosine Laguerre, put out and did a workshop on. We have many house scrub recipes, money drying scrub recipes, and cleansing recipes in our various literature and including online. So there's no reason not to do it. And even though today is the 8th, if you haven't done it yet, you still have time to start or finish a house cleaning that you started. So that's my first thing about what should be done. And the reason I mention it is Lucky Mojo has about a million little dishes full of amulets, and every one of those has to be cleaned out, and all the amulets dusted and all the little dishes dusted. And it takes us quite a while, and we're still dusting little balls of amulets. That's what I was doing right before the show started. So it takes time to clean completely. But it really does at the end. Everything is very sparkly and fresh. And you've gotten rid of all of the old bad stuff of the old year, and you made way for the new. Now, there are other New Year customs. You know, eating 12 grapes at midnight.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, customs like foods that you might eat, like black-eyed peas and cornbread and greens. And there are many, many of such customs. But I'm going to bring Elvira in. This is her topic. And I'm going to let her be turned loose in it, and then Ollie and I will jump in when we have something to add on the idea of new beginnings.
Well, obviously, cleansing is a big part of it. I mean, in terms of that, you did obviously a wonderful job in kind of introducing it. There are other ways to do cleansings, I mean, not just of your house, but of yourself, and obviously baths are one of them, the spiritual baths. And we have many wonderful products for that in Lucky Mojo. And then there is something that I like to do, which is walk a labyrinth. To me, and we have one on Lucky Mojo's property. It's a beautiful labyrinth. And, you know, walking it, by walking in, you're taking in all the stuff to release. And at the center, you do release it and you receive what, you know, you ask what you would like for the new year, you ask what you would like for yourself, and then, of course, let spirit, in whatever form it will take, because sometimes we try to get things identical to what we think we want and what we see, and, you know, spirit brings us a different package, and we get all kind of freaky. And then you go out with the sense of renewal, and that one is, I mean, there are labyrinths all over the world, so obviously this is not something that is a particular culture. And then, obviously, I was researching some of the cleansing methods, and you know, using water and things like that are very much part of it. But then you can also use Palo Santo or sage, you know, incense to also clean the energies out as well. And one that I found fascinating was you get two sets of matched lodestones, and you put your you basically go from back to front, but you walk clockwise and you pull in all of the negativity and the darkness and the things that have been stuck in the house and yourself and all, with an intent of that, and then you take it. And once you do that, you basically take and bury them to release the energies into the earth, of course, to be re-cleansed and repurposed. But the point being is that you pull it out with those matches.
Wow, I gotta ask, what tradition does that come out of? Because I never heard of anything like that before.
It was something that when I was doing my research, it was in a particular grouping of cleansings that they did. And I would tell you that it was probably a hybrid of using lodestones to draw things in and the concept of cleansing, because I always go counterclockwise. So going clockwise.
Well, I'm not even just talking about clockwise or counterclockwise. I've never heard of using lodestones to draw negativity.
Well,
never.
Mm.
I'm not going to say these people are wrong, but that's just that is something I've never heard before, because the use of lodestones very hoodoo, very African oriented. There are more lodestones in Africa, by the way, than in other parts of the world. That's just a fact. But the use of lodestones, for instance, in Germany, they would use it to draw a baby out. If the baby was stuck during childbirth, put the lodestone, you know, by the birth canal and draw the baby out. So that's drawing a good thing. People use lodestones to draw money, but I've never heard of anyone using a lodestone to attract negativity and then burying it.
Well,
that's,
see,
just,
that's why I thought it was such a, I knew it was going to be kind of a charged topic as to, well, is it legitimate or not, but I thought, you know, sometimes a hybrid is something we find that works in a different way.
Yeah, well, you know, and of course people make up things and then they check and see back later, did they manage to move culture toward their idea, or did culture just look at them and go, uh-uh? So, you know, that's the wonder of, that is the wonder of the internet, because anyone can say anything, but that's a new one. That's a new one on me. Yeah, and Conjure Manali says, I wonder if it's associated with the folklore of lodestones drawing lightning. Well, that's not just folklore. That's science.
Right.
You see? So,
and I would rather not at this point draw it into my house.
Yes, right.
But I do have a Chinese one, which is using rice and salt, which was really kind of interesting.
Mm-hmm.
You basically will, you know, you'll scrub yourself before you do this. You'll cleanse yourself. But then you take the salt and the rice and put it together and mix it, and then you basically take it and go outside and put handfuls of that mixture all the way around the outside of the house, sunwise or clockwise, and go then inside and do it in each room from back to front.
Mm.
And then open the door to your front and throw 3 handfuls of salt and rice out, and then go outside and throw 3 handfuls of salt and rice inside, and then leave the salt on the inside, the salt mixture, or the salt and rice in the mixture, and wait 24 hours and then vacuum it. Don't squeeze it. Vacuum it up and take the contents and then empty it outside on the dirt.
Wow. Well, that's an interesting one, because that has some parallels with things like sprinkling basil on the floor and then leaving it. And also, that has an interesting thing with a very unusual hoodoo ritual, which is combines African-style foot track magic with Chinese-style rice, and that is lucky green rice, which you can either sprinkle on the floor of a place and let it stay and then sweep it up, and that place is then lucky, or you can put it and wear it in your shoes and then sprinkle it out. So the one of the making it into a foot track thing is kind of a, you know, wearing the rice in your shoes is kind of a hoodoo idea that got added to the idea of Chinese rice. Dyeing it green, well, that's American, obviously, because America likes the green money symbolism.
Right.
That's
you
fascinating.
You find throwing rice and, not salt, but rice and beans in some Italian traditions. And it actually harkens all the way back to the Roman tradition of dealing with the dead with rice and beans kind of thrown around the house in a circle. But it was adopted as a folk Catholic practice in Italy. So that's very interesting.
Well, and I have to say, I had a friend, I haven't seen her in years, but I hope she's still my friend. She moved to Canada. She's a Japanese-born woman. And at the New Year, she said that in a little village that she lived, now she said this is not true all over Japan, but in the little village where she lived, they would all go to the Buddhist temple. They were mostly what they would call kami worshippers. In other words, they were Japanese animist, but on New Year's they'd go to the Buddhist temple, and the Buddhist priest would have uncooked red beans, and he would throw them in the air all over them, and he said that was for the New Year.
Wow.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Very interesting. Well, I mean, mentioning the kind of Italian practice there, we should also bring up that recently, I mean, just a couple of days, Epiphany, right? So for a lot of Catholics, this was where they would get a blessed chalk and write CMB on their doors. Now, some people write it differently. They write the years in, you know, a book ending, CMB. But CMB is a kind of base. It's written on doors, which is Latin for Christus, Nonsenonem, Benedict, Christ Bless This House, as well as the name of the three magi, Caspar, Melchior, and Balthazar.
That's right.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, actually, I realized it was Epiphany because one of my grandchildren was born on Epiphany.
Yeah.
So,
common practice among us.
Yeah.
Go ahead, please.
Oh, I was going to say that, you know, there are other things that people use to cleanse themselves or their houses. And, you know, I noticed we said onions was mentioned back in the chat room.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, taking an onion, quartering it, and then putting it in the corners of the room and leaving it overnight and then removing it and disposing of it and doing this for five consecutive nights. So, you know, as far as using other things to cleanse along with whatever we have gotten in terms of, like, waters and washes and all of that.
Yeah. Well, onions featured very prominently in the style of hoodoo that I learned, particularly the Virginia, North, and South Carolinas, use onions quite a bit. And the tradition that I learned, for example, the burning of the onion skin in a variety of different kind of regional expressions is usually done whenever. But in Virginia, there was something unique about doing it on New Year's. And you were supposed to get a red onion skin and burn it, and that's so that your that the new year would be full of money for you. Because it was done specifically for luck and wealth. Also, using onions, you would use onions to rub. This would be not a red onion, but just a regular white or yellow onion. And you would rub it on the door stop so that it would draw out any evil that would come your way that year. And we weren't told to quarter it, but we were told to have it and put it under the sink and leave it there for 7 days. And it would wrinkle up and draw and kind of mold and bring out all the evil. Because the idea is that the sink is where you toss in all the mess, right? The sink is where everything goes down the drain. And so you would put it under the sink for 7 days, five or 7 days, depending on who you ask, and then you dispose of it. And everyone did that, even if they knew what they were doing, if they practiced hoodoo or lit candles. Even if they didn't, they knew that, look, it's a new year, you put an onion under your sink. Leave it there for 5 days or for 7 days. It was like one of those things that went beyond what practitioners did and was a cultural practice amongst almost everyone I knew in Virginia.
Yeah, not a professional practice. I understand what you're saying.
Right.
Now, another one that I have found interesting to find in hoodoo is the Scottish first footing is also found in African-American culture, which is that the first person coming through the door on New Year's should be an exemplary lucky man, men being considered more lucky than women because they have more privilege, a tall man being considered more lucky than a short man because he has more privilege and power, theoretically, and a man of office would be even better, so a policeman, a fireman, or a soldier, someone who holds a rank. And that is the person who should come through the door first. And women, children, and such are to be avoided because they will set a lower tone or lower bar for the new year. And that's called first footing. And many African-American people have adopted this, and it is originally a Scottish practice.
Okay.
I wanted to ask you, Kat, because you probably know this, because I've heard, is it the Irish that reverse it, that do the same first footing as pregnant women or babies? Because the Scottish, you're right, the Scottish say babies, pregnancy, that it's a lower tone. So
right.
Who is it that reverses it?
I don't know. I'm sorry I don't know that answer to your question, because I don't know of any such. I do know I have black friends, several of them, who've told me that they were told not to come over to the home of their parents because now, being just a single woman or whatever, they have to wait till brother comes over first. And then they get and one of the women told me she was so hurt because, you know, she loved her parents a lot, and they were like, well, brother hasn't shown up yet. Oh, then she gets the call half an hour later. Brother's here, now you can come over.
Oh,
and
wow.
Yeah.
She
yeah.
felt that made her less than, mm-hmm. but they were simply following an old custom as best they knew how. And she said once she understood what it was about, it wasn't that they loved her less. They just wanted to have a nice tall man come over and set the tone
mm-hmm,
for the
mm-hmm.
new year. But
right.
that kind of stuff is still maintained in many families.
Mm-hmm. Very true.
Yeah.
So, and I know that one that is very popular in hoodoo is the egg, using the egg under the bed and leaving it. You know, in spring water, and depending on how many people sleep in the bed, you know, if there's two, then it needs two eggs, and, you know, replenish it on a weekly basis, or leaving them in the corners for 7 days.
Miss Michael just said something so funny in the chat room, and she's right. Scots also prefer dark-haired man as the first foot. That is true. And she gave a reason. She said, not a blonde Viking invader, citation needed. There is no citation
for it.
It's
tricky finding new citations.
Yeah, I don't know about a citation for it, but it's true. The man is supposed to be dark-haired as well. That's right.
Oh, wow.
Okay, that's funny. Well,
yeah.
There are many ways to start the new year that are people make resolutions, okay, and they
mm-hmm.
want to change their luck. And I tell people if you're going to make a resolution, one of the best ways to do it is to write down your resolution on a piece of paper and put it in your Bible where God will keep it. In other words,
mm-hmm.
don't just be saying to yourself, it's not like a birthday wish that if you tell somebody, it's a secret and it won't come true, right? You should tell somebody and make sure they help hold you to it. But if nothing else, you write it down on a piece of paper and you put it in the Bible. And if you can, you put it at an appropriate chapter or verse of the Bible that seems to go along with it. Of course, everyone uses Psalms 23 for everything. But if you had some particular thing you wish to do, you could find a Bible verse that exemplifies that, and that's where you would put your resolution. And that what I was told is that, you know, God will then, you know, make sure that things are put in your way that are the right things to get you to get that petition accomplished.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And it's aware, you know, when we make resolutions, like every year, a lot of us, we'll pull cards for the year. We were discussing that about the year coming up.
Mm-hmm.
We will look at what we want to do. I know that every year I take a different deck, not the one I used to read by, and I will pull especially oracle decks because they're not, for me, they're not things that I use to work with other people on. They're more like things to give me advice when I'm being stupid and I need something. And I will use them. And that will be something that happened. And I did that last year. And while I was away, I took the book that I had written all the information down and started writing what the year summarized up. So it's not necessarily a tradition from any particular location or peoples. It was just this is how I started to look at resolutions and ideas for the next year of what I want to do. And since I'm a tarot reader, of course I pick tarot.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
I'm going to throw in something here because Ollie mentioned doing a reading at the stroke of midnight, and
mm-hmm.
And you mentioned tarot. I'm going to mention another one. Memphis Minnie, whose name was actually Lizzie Douglas McCoy, but she went by the name of Memphis Minnie on stage, was a blues performer. And if you have the Hoodoo Jukebox, CD, that's her picture on the front of it. She's sitting there with a guitar. She did a song called Don't Turn That Card, and it's about the African-American custom of pulling a playing card out the deck, just turning the, you know, cutting the deck and then turning that card for the new year. And the song
mm-hmm.
is printed out in full in Professor Charles Porterfield's book, A Deck of Spells. And it describes this divination. And she basically tells the cards that she pulls in different years and how they predicted and a love affair, its culmination and its dissolution over the different years. It's a very, and all of her songs, Memphis Minnie songs, are autobiographical. She only really, I mean, her songs are very true to her own life. So there you go. That's another person who always pulled a card on the new year.
I always tell my clients, you know, and this isn't particularly like deep-rooted in tradition or anything like that, but something I've developed myself, but over the years I tell my clients that if they can't do a thorough cleansing of the house for the new year, the two things that they need to clean are, one, the bed sheets, right? Take all the sheets off, take the comforter, take the everything, and give it a good cleaning. Take all the gunk that was in the previous year, the fight, the loneliness, all of that, and then wash it with something good, love drawing, attraction, blessing, whatever you want, and then put the sheets. And then also your doormat, right? Whatever your doormat is, give it a quick rub down, sprinkle some powder, sprinkle whatever it is. So you start off that the people that come into your home are good people, and that the people that you bring into your bed are the people that will stay with you, right? So those are the two things. If you can't do a thorough cleansing and light a million different candles, those are the two things you need to do in order to start the new year off. Clean your bed and clean the front door.
I just got to tell, I love Memphis Minnie so much, I just got to quote a couple of these lines. 19 and 30, I pulled the ace of clubs. You say you make me happy if I get you up out this mud. And that's a card of wealth. In 1934, you pulled the little black deuce. You said, kiss me, darling. That mean my love is true. Two of clubs is early marriage, means early marriage. In 1938, you pulled the queen of hearts. You say I was born for you. Now why we've got to part? Queen of hearts is a loving woman, a domesticated woman. Now it's 1942. I pulled the ten of spades. Now since you wrecked my life, you'll tell it to your grave. And of course, the ten of spades is an evil omen. Interesting, huh?
No kidding.
Yeah. So
I love that blending of music and reading. It's beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, as I say to people, here we are. It is the eighth. But if you haven't done your new work with your new broom, swept your house, cleans your house, cleans your laundry, if you haven't done this, it's not too late. It's always, you know, just do it now. Please do it now, because cleansing and preparing for new beginnings is an important part of keeping yourself on point and on track with your life. Don't let that old crud build up too much. All right, we're going to come back after this announcement, and we're going to be taking our first client. So I'm going to turn this over to handsome, desirable Papa Newt.
The Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rework Hour with your hosts, Catherine Ironwood and Dr. Man Ali, and this week's special guest, Miss Elvira, will be right back. We'll be taking calls from our listeners, answering their questions through spiritual divination, and prescribing down-home conjure remedies and remediation. Our calling clients are selected from among those who have filled out a short questionnaire at the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com. You can listen to the show online through Blog Talk Radio or via telephone by dialing 818-394-8535. If you filled out a client questionnaire at the forum, please dial in now to 818-394-8535 and press 1 to let us know that you are available to be on the air. We'll be selecting callers by their area code, and if your area code is announced, we'd like you to say hello and let me, your announcer, Papa Newt, read a brief description of your situation before turning it over to our hosts. Now it's time to go to the phones and take our first caller. Our first caller is calling in from area code 862 in New Jersey. This is Olivia. Olivia, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Hi.
Hello. Welcome to the show. I see this is your first time calling in, so welcome.
Thank you. I'm excited.
Wonderful. We'll take good care of you, hon. And I do see that you have not gone to any private readings with Ms. Capricorn Ali about this situation. You have gone to other air members, but on other situations, I see.
Right.
And Olivia writes, for 2017, my ultimate goal is to manifest a career, either for something I went to college for or any field better than the one I'm in now. But I don't know which direction to take. I'm unhappy with my current job and living situation. I'm currently employed, but I want another job. How, when, where should I focus my energy in order to find a career? Turn it back to you, Ms. Katz.
All right. Hello, Olivia. I'm going to ask a couple of questions before we get started. First question I have is, what is your sign of the zodiac?
A Pisces.
A Pisces. All right. So that's the fishes. And the fishes are known for swimming back and forth. And Pisces is a sign that sometimes has a difficulty going in a straight-ahead fashion. They'll veer zigzag, and they'll do different things. They're what's called a mutable sign. So that's going to be kind of normal for you, you see, to be that way in life. So don't expect that you will ever become as stuck in the mud as an old Taurus who does the same thing over and over again. Okay. Now, the next thing I ask is, about how old are you?
I'm 22.
22. Well, you're a young lady. And so that's you're a Pisces just beginning to swim the sea. Now, my next and last question before I begin the reading is, what did you study in college?
I majored in English originally to become a teacher, but as the years progressed, I kind of lost interest in going through the teacher program, so I just majored in English.
All right. And so now you're employed, but that job is not having anything to do with English. It's just general employment?
Right.
All right. Okay. Now I understand. All right. So now, having gotten that, I'm going to use my cards, and I'm going to run a three-card cut. And that's an old-fashioned way of reading where you just put three cards out. Card number one is the Page of Pentacles, and this shows a young woman, well, sort of an androgynous young being. We mostly think of her as a princess. And she is standing out in a field, and behind her is a mountain, and on one side there's a forest, a small one. And then on the other side there's a field. It's been plowed and furrows dug in it with the plow, but it's been planted, but nothing has sprouted. It's just brown dirt. And then she's standing in a meadow with little flowers. So where she is right now is quite charming. But the thing that she had in mind, the plowed field, has not yet produced results. She holds a coin, that could be a career or money, in her hands very lightly, as if it were like a soap bubble that she's just comes down now from heaven, and it just touches her fingers, and she's planning her future. But she has one foot turned back, like she's just spinning to turn, and that means she still is caught in some of the decisions she made in the past. So what I see in this card is that you are on the brink of catching some new thing, kind of like what our show was about. She's just catching something new, but some of the plans you made have not sprouted, and you are still a little bit held back by what happened in the past. You got to kind of complete that turn and move forward. This is not a card of despair, but it is a card of moving forward and stop looking at the past. Okay. The next card is a fantastic, good card, a very, very good card, especially for having any kind of a work where you are the responsible party. In other words, it's a card of somebody who is in charge of their life. And that card is called the Queen of Wands. And she's a lady on a throne. She has on a gown of gold and a cape of silver. She has a golden crown. Behind her on one side are the golden sands of the day, and the other side the silver sands of the night. She holds a big rod or staff in one hand, showing her power. In the other hand, she holds a sunflower, which shows her optimism. In front of her is a little black cat. That shows her protective nature. She protects herself. So she's a very powerful woman. I believe that this card shows me that the problem with your current job is that you're not being given enough responsibility. Part of the problem is you're young. They're not going to make you a queen, crown you, and let you rule the nation at this time in your life cycle. But that is where you are aiming to be. You want to be in charge of others. You do not wish to be a subservient person. This may mean that the job that you're at will never pan out for you, but you need a job where you're going to at least go into training to become a queen. Does that make sense to you?
Yes, it does.
So the job where you're at right now may be a bit of a dead end. The next card, unfortunately, is what we call the card of delay. It is the Three of Wands. This says it's going to be 3 years before you can get the rewards that you are hoping for. So it's going to take time. You asked how, when, and where should you focus your energy? Well, this man in the card, the Three of Wands, has sent out 3 ships. These are 3 attempts on his part to get rewards. He sends out the ships to trade, and they're going to bring back treasures. But they haven't come back, and it's sunset. He's got patched clothes, but they're very nicely patched, very artistically patched, and he's got 3 wands or staffs. We usually say this means 3 years. So send out your resumes, send out your inquiries, but there may be a bit of a delay. I hope it's not 3 years. Sometimes we say this card means 3 months. But I'm looking at it, and I'm saying, considering who you are and where you are, you may wish to consider that it's going to take a bit longer than, I'm just reading for you. I'm not telling you what to do. But the cards say that there is a delay. In the meantime, maintain your optimistic personality. That's the sunflower that the queen holds. She's always an optimist. She always turns toward the sun. She takes advantage of everything. And what I see here is keep working at it. Now, the man you asked where, the man is looking at down at the ocean. And he's looking down. It could be a very large lake, but we often call it the sea. And what I tend to see there is you may need to move to get a better situation and or position in your life. That's just what I think. Now, you are in New Jersey, which is down by the sea, and so it might even be like the island of Manhattan that we see across the way. But there is, it could be the Hudson River. I mean, there's a big body of water, and there's some land on the other side. So there may be a little bit of juggling your space-time location as far as getting a better job, okay? These cards do not say that you must go back to college and get that teaching degree. That doesn't say that, but it says it's going to take some time. You might want to do some root work on it. The queen is a queen of root work. She's a very good spellcaster, okay? So that's what I see here, and let's turn this over to Miss Elvira.
Well, I do want to ask a question. Where are you presently working now?
I currently work at the post office. I started while I was still in college, but I didn't plan on staying as long as I have. It's been about a year, but I figured, you know, when I graduated, I was going to find another job, and it didn't pan out the way I saw it.
Okay, because obviously the cards I've pulled that are like the delineation of what is going on in your job situation is the Eight of Swords, which is feeling tied, restricted, which obviously we've covered a little ground on. The Seven of Wands, which feeling underappreciated and also feeling that there is a sense of rivalry. There's almost like there may even be mini competitions and competitiveness in some of the areas that you didn't think were going to actually be that. And in the Ace of Pentacles would be your present job. What I do see, though, is you've got the Hierophant, and to me that tells me that you may want to start looking at possibly nonprofit organizations, places where you can start helping others. Because even though you were, you know, you've not decided you really like being a teacher, the idea of helping others seems to have a drive in terms of that. And to me, I would tell you definitely use magic. I've got the Scorpio card, which basically is a series of things. It can be the ending of an old situation and beginning of a new, but to me this is more about utilizing the deeper energies of the mysteries, the magic, to, as Ms. Kat said, root work, to start moving your energies. I mean, and do the real world stuff, like start looking and putting applications in and all. But I do see an older man who may be very beneficial in helping you, whether he is a recruiter or he is someone who has a energy that will help you point in the right direction. It could be job counselor, somebody who, you know, kind of puts you in the right place for that. I feel that your beginnings are strong, and you know the Knight of Wands tells me you will be moving. So you may move out of where you're at into a new job this year, which feels more of the case. And then that will allow you the decision to really get your feet set in something more in keeping with what you really want, which is to, you know, be helpful to others and also to, as Ms. Kat said, be a manager or a supervisor or somebody who helps put everybody into place. So that's kind of where I'm seeing what's happening here.
Okay, so both of us have seen, really, that you have a potential for some kind of a organizational or management type work where you would actually be above others. But they're not going to give that to a 22-year-old. You're going to have to work your way up the ranks.
Mm-hmm.
But both of us see this coming to pass. And the Knight of Wands is a very good card for the recruiter. And I said send out resumes, which is the Three of Wands. We've got a lot of Wands cards here. Those are good, helpful cards. They are. Those are cards of activity. So don't lose your optimism and keep on going. Now we're going to turn you over to Conjurman Ali. And he's going to give you some root work advice on things that you could do on your own. Okay?
Okay.
Thank you, Kat. Yeah, I'm going to give you some root work advice. But first, I'm going to start off with a really simple, practical suggestion. And it's about orienting yourself a bit. You have a degree in English, right? Now, at the undergraduate level, things have changed over the years, right? Things have changed. It used to be that when you got a degree in something, you usually went into that field. But because there is a sort of influx of people with degrees now, that it's kind of standard for everyone and everywhere they should have a degree for even at entry-level positions, people more often than not don't go into their field anymore until they continue on to do something like graduate school, doctoral degrees, etc., right? So you don't have an interest in becoming a teacher anymore. That's perfectly fine. But that doesn't mean your degree is useless anymore. Or it doesn't mean that, oh, that's it, you got your English degree, you can't do anything with it. You have a set of marketable skills. And this is true of all humanities majors. And they need to recognize that. And that's what you're marketing, your capacity to think critically, to write, to analyze qualitative information. All of that is very, very valuable in the marketplace, especially in the workforce, where that's quite rare with a great degree of people who are in either the STEMs or in business degrees. They don't have those same qualifications. So that's what you need to recognize first. That's the attitude you need to come in with this, right? That you do have something marketable, something that you can bring in. Now, in order to find yourself the ideal job, you don't exactly know what you want, but there are a set of characteristics that you do know you want. Things that you are interested in, for example, a job that is financially secure, a job that is close to home, a job that makes you feel emotionally fulfilled, so on and so forth. These are characteristics that you recognize, even if you may not be too sure of the specific job. So what I want you to do is write down the list of these characteristics with some dissolvable ink. Now, you can make this yourself from berries, or you can purchase dissolvable ink. It's pretty easy to get. This can be done either on dissolvable paper, or you can do it on a plate. You get a brand new plate in order to do it. Doing it on a plate is a little bit more traditional. And you are going to write down those characteristics. You are then going to draw yourself a bath. You're going to add in some honey. And you're going to add in a small bit of tea that you have made from bayberry and five-finger grass. Then you're going to dissolve your list. You're going to actually, if it's paper, you put the paper in. If it's the plate, you actually will wash the plate in the bath so that the characteristics go into the water, and you are going to bathe in this mixture. You're going to do this for 3 days. Every day you will air dry, gather a bit of that used bath water, and sprinkle it by your front door. I'm giving you this because you are a Pisces. It's a very strong way of working for a Pisces, and it'll help to really root your desires on your body itself. Now, the next step is to set up an altar. I know that nowadays in the kind of new traditions, a lot of people talk about things like vision boards and whatnot, and those are very, very useful. But before vision boards, I'm going to sound super hipster right now, but before vision boards, altars is what we did, right? That was the kind of, that was the thing we used. Altars were places where you would put things and things would be drawn in, right? The most powerful altar is you could set a single thing and it would manifest. So you need to build this up over time. Get a place that you're going to dedicate for your ideal job. Take those same characteristics, write them down on a piece of paper, put it right in the center. You're going to put a nice, big, large lodestone right on top of it. And you are going to surround this paper with photos and objects that look like the job you're looking for. If it's a specific place, get the business card, get the logo. Photoshop yourself at that job if you have a specific one in mind. If not, then find things that remind you of success, that put money on the altar, put images of people who are happy at work on the altar, gather it. You need to put attention on the altar itself. You're also going to sprinkle it with some sunflower seeds. This is tied to the reading that Miss Cat gave you, so you want to link that sunflower component there. Now, you will also have a small jar. You're going to get yourself a mason jar. Well, fill that thing with sugar, and you're going to get a large cinnamon stick. You can get these at the store, and you're going to write on there, "My ideal job," in pen on the cinnamon stick itself. That's your wand, if you will, right? Like the Queen of Wands. And you're going to stick that into the jar. Every day, you're going to wake up after you've done your bathing, before you go out, before you step out the door, you're going to feed your lodestone some magnetic sand. You're going to ask that as you feed it, it will feed you, that it will draw the perfect job for you. And you will stir the sugar with the cinnamon stick and take a bit of it and taste it so that it is sweet to you. You're going to do this every single day. That altar will manifest your ideal job. Any application that you have, you should first set it on that altar under that lodestone. Any resume you have, you should set it first on that altar and under that lodestone. And as you refine your goal, let's say you start to find a field. Well, I'm interested in the nonprofit. You're going to put the nonprofit field on that altar. Then you find a specific organization. You put that organization on that altar. Then you find who the hiring manager is. You put that on the altar. So you build your success step by step. Do this, and I have no doubt that you will be able to find your ideal job. That would be my root work recommendation.
Wow. That was thorough as it gets. And I'm going to say here that the very little that I can add to this, one of the things he mentioned was get the logos or the pictures of the people who are doing the hiring. You can get those off the web, sometimes from LinkedIn, sometimes from a company's website, and just cut them out and put them on your altar. And this is a wonderful way to work, and I wish you all the best of luck. I love the sunflowers. That's good. Eat the sunflower seeds. Okay.
Yes, absolutely.
All right. Well, we wish you all the best. We're going to move on to our next client, but report back to us if you can and let us know how things have gone for you. We'll be glad to help again in the future. All right. We're going to turn this over to Papa Newt, and he's going to tell us about our next caller.
Support for this programming is provided by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and located online at luckymojo.com, and by the Association of Independent Readers and Root Workers, AIR, a directory of ethical and authentic conjure practitioners, located online at readersandrootworkers.org. and by the Crystal Silence League, a free online prayer service of Missionary Independent Spiritual Churches located online at crystalsilenceleague.org. Now it's time to go to the phones and take our next client. Our next client is calling in from area code 318 in Louisiana. This is Valerie. Valerie, are you there?
I'm here.
Welcome to the show. I see this is your first time calling in, so welcome.
Thank you.
And, oh, you're welcome, hon. And I do see that your history of readings, you had had a reading with Confirmant Ali before, but on a completely unrelated topic to this one. And just to confirm, you have gone to other readers and reworkers on this situation. Is that correct?
I have.
Oh, Karma Dane. I'm so sorry. I see you had with Karma Dane. Oh, wait. That was 2014. I'm so sorry, hon. I'm just trying to get information. All right. Let me take a look here. And Valerie writes, I am having an ongoing problem with a specific manager in my workplace relating to discrimination. Even though my previous complaints were eventually successful in ending the discriminatory behavior, the same manager is subjecting me to the exact type of discrimination again. I'll return to work tomorrow for an extensive medical leave, and I would like a reading to determine if I will be reinstated with my further interference on her part. Turn back to you, Cass.
All right. Well, this one is going to go to Conjurman Ali. And interesting, we have two job-oriented readings,
mm-hmm.
So this is the all-job show. Take it away, Ali.
Thank you, Kath. Yeah, it certainly is the old jobs show and quite fitting for the beginning of the year and our first show. Valerie, if I may ask, what sign of the zodiac are you?
I am a Sagittarius with a Sagittarius rising.
Okay, Sagittarius. Okay, I've pulled three cards here, and they really speak to what's going on in your situation and what you can expect. Well, the first card is the Ten of Swords. The Ten of Swords is a card of betrayal and hurt and pain and suffering. It is a person who has been stabbed in the back. It is a betrayal card. It's not a card of a fair fight. It's a card of quite cruelty, and this person is now bleeding out. This is the past. This tells us that this has not been easy for you in any way, shape, or form. This has been very difficult, especially when you're facing discrimination. There's something so frustrating about someone in power abusing their power, and it's not often resolved easily or quickly. When you're uncomfortable at work, that can really throw everything off balance. The next card is the Knight of Swords. This is a knight that is returning, a knight that is ready for battle, and they're charging headfirst into conflict. This tells us that things are not quite over yet. This person still is bearing a grudge. This person is still ready to fight, and this person is definitely going to interfere, as you've kind of hinted at, probably in more microaggression form rather than deliberately discriminating, as that discrimination has been put to an end thanks to your complaints. But this also speaks to you. You're returning, and you need to be ready to start fresh. You can't come in with the desire to fight or continue fighting. You just don't have that type of energy. No one does, and no one should be forced to put up with that for long periods of time. Think about coming and turning over a new leaf. That doesn't mean forgiving and forgetting. That means coming in and saying, things are going to be different. We are not going to fight. This person needs to be out of my life. I would recommend doing some type of work to remove their power over you completely, some type of freezer work, some type of work to halt them, stop gossip, something to keep them from being able to influence, or even hotfoot, to keep them from being able to influence you, and then follow it up with things that will change the very energy of the area around you, things that will be bring peacefulness, bring serenity, because you can't be in a state of constant conflict. The final card that we have is the Nine of Wands. It's a person who has just beaten through a wall of wands, and now they're resting slightly. The person has a bandage on their head. This speaks one directly to you and your situation and what you've been discriminated against. Or, but also the reality that you will be successful in this. It's not quite done. You're reaching the end, but you can only reach that end if you change the tone. You need to change the tone of this this circumstance. It can't continue to be a back and forth that this person does something, you report, and then they stop, then they go to microaggression. The back and forth is draining. That'll make working impossible. You need to come to a solution that sharp focus says, that's it, no more. We're not going to deal with this person again. And then work on changing the actual energy around you, the actual spiritual environment around you, so that it is healthier and you can move forward. This is the card of hope, the card of finding the end, but it is still a journey ahead of you. It's not quite over. And you need to be ready that your return is going to be heralded from conflict. So come in with a fresh mind, a fresh perspective, and a different approach, because we can't have you go back to that Ten of Swords situation where you're betrayed, you're discriminated against, or you face some serious action by this person, and then you're forced to kind of counteract. This back and forth is not going to do any favors. Victory is at hand, but it is going to take you a little bit. Take this reading as an opportunity to clear the mind and clear your perspective and take a different approach going forward. And that's what I see with my reading. We're going to have Miss Elvira do the next reading for you, and Miss Kat's going to come in and give you some great root work advice.
Oh, thank you. Well, basically, it's interesting that Contraman Ali got the Knight of Swords. When I was shuffling, the Knight of Swords fell out on the floor. So I usually hold them aside, and to me, that represents that the conflict is still there, as Countryman always said, but you're going to need to disengage from it because it will drain you and it will put things in, which, you know, one of the cards I pulled of the first three is the shadow side or the devil. It will create fear. It will reinforce the fear that you had and the frustration prior to going out on leave. And you do have the Two of Cups, which to me is more about working on bringing in harmony into your environment. Harmony into, you know, when you come back, set it up, and also when you actually get back into your office, into the position you're in, if you have a desk, find things that you can put there that are for protection and for harmony and balancing that energy so that you kind of create a force field, because the Page of Pentacles is right below it, which tells me you do need to remember that that is what you need to go in with. You don't need to fight, but you need to protect and balance out the energies. And definitely the card of discrimination and discernment, even though it is the Lover's card, it is a Gemini card. And one of the things that comes up a lot is being able to be discerning about how things are coming at you and what you need to put forward and not be so on hypervigilance at this point. I think that's because it's opposite the shadow card. So I would say that would be where I would leave my part of it. Thank you.
Wow. All right. So what I'm left with here understanding from these two very, very on-point readers is that the person that you fear will subject you to this exact same type of discrimination again will indeed do so. But that you need to take a new tack and approach that differently, because otherwise you're going to go down the same road again. So that doesn't mean you are wrong for what happened in the past. It means you've swept the deck clear. This person is unremitting in their discriminatory work and thoughts and beliefs. And so you could do some work to try to move them out of the job, or you might want to do some work to get yourself a different position or working with a different person. So when we get cards like the Ten of Swords and the Devil, those are bad. By the way, that Ten of Swords was the same as that Memphis Mini card, Ten of Spades, which she saw as I read that one out loud earlier, that she saw as, you know, a deadly end of a relationship type thing. So that is a bad card, real bad card. You got some real bad cards here. And now, what I'm going to tell you...
A real bad situation, to tell you the truth.
I'm sorry, say it again?
I said, I have a real bad situation, to tell you the truth, and so all of these cards, as y'all are discussing them, are just so on point, and I'm just blown away.
Yeah, right. Well, it's, yeah, you have a situation. It's ugly. It's ugly. And, you know, people think the reading is going to fix it. The reading isn't going to fix it. Well, we're going to try to fix it with some root work. Number one, I need you to be protected, or you're not going to be happy there for a minute. So what I'd like you to do is to get yourself some very simple types of protection set in place. If you work at a place where you can put a potted plant in the office or up on your desk or whatever, use that. You're going to want more than one potted plant because potted plants don't thrive in an indoor environment. So you're going to swap them out, take them home, and have a new fresh potted plant every week or two. It's like, you know, it's a struggle for them to live that way. But in the potted plant pot at the bottom, I want you to put some things to protect yourself. And one of the things you can do is write up a prayer, you know, along the lines of, you know, no evil shall befall me. I mean, you know, something of that nature. You can use one of the Psalms. You can just write in your own handwriting what you want. And you're going to address that. You might even call that person's name. So-and-so has no power over me. And you're going to address that piece of paper with an X that you draw in Fiery Wall of Protection Oil, and just fold that corners in to the center and fold the other two corners into the center. And then you can seal that with wax from a candle, and you just put that in the bottom of your potted plant. The potted plant will grow, and you put a little dirt under, you put the paper, you put more dirt, put the plant in, and the plant will actually, it'd be like burning a candle on the job, because the plant is going to radiate as its roots penetrate into that paper. It'll take your prayer and carry it out. It's a very good way to work in an office where a potted plant is allowed. If you cannot have a potted plant in where you work, then there are other ways to do the same thing. You get what are called desk toys. You know what desk toys are. People always have them, some little this or that or the other. Maybe a photo of somebody that you love or something like that. But you dress and prepare and fix those desk toys the same way. You put an X of Fiery Wall of Protection. Some people will do it in all four corners of their flat desk drawer. Some will do it in every corner of every drawer in their desk. Put a dot of Fiery Wall of Protection, a dot in the center. That's called five spot if you can't draw an X. And say, my drawers are protected. My desk is protected. The four legs of the desk are protected. My chair is protected. This person cannot come near me. If you have your own office space, you can actually even put it across the threshold, and sometimes they will not be able to cross. So I use Fiery Wall of Protection rather than just simple protection here, because this person has already been aggressive. So you now need to give them a little bit of pushback. Now, the cards also said don't be hypervigilant, and that means you got to take it easy here and rest and control what is going on, because if you come up as too hypervigilant, they will knock you down, okay? You won't have the sympathy and the allies that you need. So take a step back, even though you know who your enemy is, and we're going to call this person straight up an enemy. Even though you know who your enemy is, just, you know, keep that calm demeanor and log whatever happens. Anything that you wear should be put on in such a way that you will be strengthened thereby. So I would say some of the things that I like to wear for that kind of a situation is some dressed jewelry and what some people call fascinator jewelry. So this is jewelry that, well, a lot of the times people put an evil eye on it, have a little eye charm or something like that. But you can dress any kind of a ring or any kind of a necklace, especially if you have the kind that has a little bit of filigree and whatever. You're just going to put a little bit of oil on it that would be protection oil. You don't have to put Fiery Wall on yourself, just straight up protection oil or guardian angel oil. And you can put that on the jewelry and just pray over it. Just leave that prayer into it. You know, when I wear this necklace and this ring, anything sent to me will go. Now, when that troublesome person comes up, well, you just brush your hair back from your head or whatever you're going to do, and that brings your ring across your face just a little bit, and you just brush the other way, and that ring has now protected your face, protected your eyes and all in your ears. You can just, people just do this so casual and nobody knows that fascinator ring is basically, if you could imagine like a special effect from a movie and this ring was glowing in the dark and you just saw the tracer it made, you'd see that people will use that. They'll just protect themselves, right? Put it over there, put their hand on their heart and protect their heart. So that is another way to work. You are going to want to have, beyond protection, you're also going to have something for success. And I would recommend that using a combination of talismans for success, something like that, and you can, I don't think I have enough time to give you every success mojo or everything like that that exists, but you don't just want to be on the defensive. You also want to be on the successful and making allies path. So let's just say for success, you could use a little bit of sugar. And one of the ways that I like to work is if there's a break room or anything like that in where you work, you just go and steal some sugar packets, you know, one by one by one, and put them in, take them home, and put them in a sugar jar in your home where you layer some sugar, sugar packet, sugar, sugar packet, sugar. Don't write on them, don't do anything, but pray over them that all who eat the sugar will be kindly and treat me as sweet as sugar. Touch your a finger to your tongue and touch the sugar and just lick it and pray that. Then take the sugar packets back and reintroduce them into the break room. And then anyone who eats those sugar packets will do good. Take peace water, which is a mixture of an oil product and a water product, and they have to be shake up to be used. So get a little bit of a perfume atomizer or something like a little pocket sprayer. You can buy those anywhere. Put in some peace water that's been shook up, and it'll separate again. Shake it up, and in the bathrooms of where you work, go in the bathroom, and when you know just spray in the room and say, let all who come in here have peace. Now, if this person who is a manager is a female, they're going to use the same bathroom that you do. So that works real well if you have a female enemy. Okay, so yeah, so I think that's about everything I have to say about it. Let's see if Elvira has something else to add.
Well, one of the things that I really admire the peace water. I think that's a great idea, especially in the bathrooms. What I would say for you is utilize for your success. Work with some herbs, maybe get a packet that you can wear, not just, I know the fascinator ring. So, some basil, some five-finger grass, things that, because you'll be working with your hands and you know, touching papers, and definitely a adventurine or a green stone, which will bring in, again, that's the financial aspect, because you want to keep your job and you want the job to bring money and to keep it going. And so put it together and put it as a little packet in your purse, or you can put it in the drawer of your desk so that you can bring in more money and more actual physical success. I think that would be what I would like to add.
Yeah, great. And I just realized this also, Psalms number 1, which is a psalm to separate the ungodly from the congregation. That is a nice way of getting her the heck out of there. And it's not like hot footing her. You can go to that. If Psalms 1 doesn't drive her out, then you may go to hot footing. But I would work slowly and quietly with Psalms number 1. And that is a way to, you just read that psalm, you'll understand it. You can burn a little candle on her name or something like that. Throw the wax away at a river. Find a tree at the river. And it says, like the tree planted by the water, you say, you touch that tree and put your hand on it. She says, you're planted by the water, I shall not be moved. And that is Psalms 1. It is to make people leave who do not deserve to be in the place. But if that doesn't work, then you can go to hot footing her. All right, honey. You got your work cut out for you. Good luck. And again, check in with us again as things progress. This is an ongoing situation that you got to deal with. All right, I'm going to turn this over to our technical department.
Yeah. The LMC Radio Network is a media alliance whose excellent shows include The Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rural Power with Catherine Ironwood and Conjurman Ali, Sundays 3 to 4:30, Tendela's Corner with Candelo Cambisa and Michael Carell, Mondays 5 to 7, The Crystal Silence League Hour with John St. Germain, Tuesdays 5 to 6, In the Streets with Beverly Smith, Tuesdays 6 to 7, Fit and Foxy with Madame Nadia and Jaya Danya, Wednesdays 6 to 7, The Now You Know Show with Professor Charles Porterfield, Thursdays 6 to 7:30, The Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron with Elvira Love and Phoenix LeFay, Fridays 6 to 7, and Liquid Libations with Andrea Weston, Saturdays 5 to 7. All time specific, add 3 hours for Eastern, sponsored by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and online at LuckyMojo.com.
Thank you, Terrell Tallahead, Chief Engineer at the LMC Radio Network, for bringing those announcements every week. And now it's time for our freestyle segment with Miss Elvira of Elvira.com in Santa Rosa, California. Take it away, Miss Elvira.
Okay, so I've got this spell, and what it's going to need is 4 candles, 3 orange and 1 black and 1 white. How you're going to set it up is you will make a row of the 3 orange candles, and then above that row, in line with the center orange candle, you'll have a black candle. And below the center orange candle, you'll have a white candle. Placed between the center orange candle and 1 candle to the left, you'll put a stone. Now, that stone will be something with regards to what you personally would like to bring new into your life at the beginning of this new year. It can be for diet, it can be for health, it can be for money, it can be for a job. And then between the center stone and the right orange candle, I mean the center candle and the right orange candle, will be an herb. Again, a corresponding herb that will match the stone that you have chosen for whatever particular new area you want to bring in. Now, you will light these candles. You will start with all 3 of the orange candles. You will then go to the black candle, and you'll go to the white candle. The black candle is all the bad, negative things that have been in your past from last year, any other time, it'll be there. The white candle is to neutralize the darker negative energy, and the orange candles are the road opening. They are your empowerment. So you will start with your power, you will go to the negativity, because that's what you want to start working on, and then the neutralizer will be added. You will let these all burn down, and when they're through, you'll get a little bag, a mojo bag, flannel bag, pretty little amulet bag, and you'll take a piece of the orange wax, and you will put that with the stone and the herb into the bag, and you'll add a little bit of magnetic sand, and you will close that up, and you will carry that with you throughout the first quarter of the year, because obviously this is something you want to bring in, but you may have to shift the energies after the first quarter. I would tell you that we are coming up on a full moon, so this would be a good time within the next few days to set this up and do it, but you would definitely want to put it closer to the coming of the full moon into the full moon energy, because what you're doing is you're gaining power, and you're putting that into effect in terms of the lunar time frame. And, of course, we have Mercury going out of retrograde on Monday, so it would definitely be a good time to do it after the Mercury goes direct.
Yes, right. That is a wonderful thing. So the 3 candles that are road opening candles represent, like, because they're in a row, they represent a road.
Yes.
Yeah, that's nice. I like that a lot. Now, people are going to ask, what kind of stone, what kind of herb? So I'm going to just throw in a little suggestion. If you're looking to use stones in your work and you want a real quick reference book, you don't need one of those big coffee table books with pictures of every stone in the universe and all, just get Crystal Magic by John St. Germain. This book has pages of lists of stones and their use in magic, real clear information. It talks about the use of colors of stones, and you can pick a stone just based on its color if you don't know its reputation. So that's Crystal Magic by John St. Germain. If you need to know what herb to select, you can get Hoodoo Herb and Root Magic, a book which I wrote back in 2002, and it's still in print, still going strong, and it has a list of herbs and what conditions they are used for. Then the back of that book, there are lists of conditions reversed. In other words, you just look at the condition, and it'll tell you what herbs can be used for that. Also, there is a web page that a man named Reeve Socratic and Papa Newt worked on, and that page is called Hoodoo at a Glance, and it has lists, real quick lists of herbs by condition as well, if you don't have time to buy or look at a book. All right. So that was my advice, because that's a beautiful spell, but this is the way to practically put that spell into immediate use.
Yeah.
All right.
Definitely.
Yeah. All right. So, Contraband Ali, do you have anything to add to this?
Nothing. I think it's fantastic. A beautiful, beautiful piece of working, and I echo the timing. I think that coming up is the perfect time to do this type of work. So everyone get ready. Next, you know, after Monday, full moon's coming up.
That's right. And if you need a list of what's been mentioned in the show, the chat log will be posted, God willing, in the Lucky Mojo forum from which the link was to this show. Now, I'm going to bring up some other news upcoming. We are getting ready for the Hoodoo Heritage Festival, and this is a yearly event that we put on every year in May. And this May, the Hoodoo Heritage Festival will be on the 13th and 14th of May. And all graduates of my correspondence course are also invited to come the week prior to the festival for free apprenticeship week. And that will be arranged through the Heidi Simpson at the shop. You can go to luckymojo.com/apprenticeship.html for how to get on the apprenticeship. That's not for the public. But after the apprenticeship, on the 13th and 14th of May, we have a weekend of workshops. Tickets are on sale now. You just need to go to HoodooHeritageFestival.com. Tickets are on sale now. Now, people say, well, the price is very high for this. Well, you're going to be coddled and bundled and given many things. you will be given, in addition to the 10 workshops that you're going to be taking, you're going to be given a goodie bag with a guaranteed value of at least $100 of stuff that you're going to be using in those workshops. Also, you're going to get 2 free breakfasts and 2 free lunches, and those are good Southern-style cafeteria lunches. They're wonderful, catered by our own Heidi Simpson and family. So it is definitely worth the price. So don't cry poor on us now. Come out and learn what you can learn. Every workshop comes with flyers, and some workshops come with complete books of the type that we make and sell, and we are working on those books right now. Miss Aida is doing a book on cursing and crossing, and I've already seen the cover rough, and the book is done, and we're just now typesetting it. It is fantastic. And everybody knows Miss Aida is a great cursor. And there are other things that upcoming. Aura LaForest is going to be doing a workshop as well. And I just want to make sure that everybody knows, go to Hoodoo Heritage Festival, and we will be updating the website and connecting it to the online ticket sales. So I'm going to turn this over to Papa Newt and see what he can say in about a half a minute.
Thank you, Ms. Kat, and Conjurman Ali, and thank you, Ms. Elvira.com in Santa Cruz, California, for being our guest this week.
Santa Rosa, thank you.
Oh, my goodness. We do have another special guest from the Association of Independent Readers and Root Workers next week, which will be Papa G of WhiteMojo.com in Nashville, Tennessee, discussing talismans, amulets, and charms. Once again, we come to an end of another Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Root Work Hour brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California. You can find Ms. Kat by the LuckyMojo.com, LuckyMojo forum at forum.luckymojo.com, and Conjurman Ali at ConjurmanAli.com in Mission Viejo, California. I am your announcer, Papa Newt of PapaNewt.com in Omaha, Nebraska. The Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Root Work Hour can be heard every week live on Blog Talk Radio at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, and the shows are available in archive via luckymojo.com/radioshow.html. For all of us at Lucky Mojo, I'd like to say thank you for being here and invite you to tune in next week. Once again, we'll be back at the same time when you'll hear the familiar strains of the Memphis Jug Band playing the Jug Band Waltz. Thanks, everybody. Goodbye.
Thank you, Papa Newt. Now, I'm just going to give you another little taste of the festival. Coe Meadows is going to be presenting for the first time, and all of y'all who know him know how good that's going to be. And Professor Porterfield is going to be our MC. Madame Pamita will be singing. John St. Germain will perform an act of magic during our lunches. I'm telling you, folks, this is going to be a fantastic, fantastic show that we're going to have live presenters from all around the country. HoodooHeritageFestival.com. Come on out for it. And we really want to see you all. There aren't going to be too many more of these. This year, next year, and 2019 will be the last one because I'm retiring. So you just got to be sure. Come on out for this. And, well, I hope to see you then. And I will be talking more about the festival as we get closer to it. All right. Thank you, Conjurman Ollie, for being with us.
Always a pleasure.
It's always wonderful to have you in. Thank you, Elvira, for the fabulous work that you brought us and the wonderful readings.
Thank you very much for having me back on again.
Yeah, well, we love you, and always good to see you. All right, folks. If you all want to take my course, I've been having a number of people trying to get my course, and they don't read the instructions. I'd like to just remind everyone, go to luckymojo.com/mojocourse.html. The instructions for taking my course are right there. Don't bother calling me and ask me. Don't bother Facebook messaging me. Just read that page, okay? I do want new students. I do want new students because I am coming to the end of my teaching, but do it right. All right, guys. Good night.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Good night, all.